Hi, this is Susie Larson. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. You know, shows like this are made possible because of your continued support of Faith Radio. To learn more, please check out our website at myfaithradio.com. Yes, yes, God is greater. Greater is he who's living in me than he who's living in the world. Did you hear that line? I say it all the time. There are days when I lose the battle. Grace says it doesn't matter because the cross has already won the war. I am learning to run freely, understanding just how he sees me, and it makes me love him more and more. That's a Mercy Me song. We love to open the 4 o'clock hour. Welcome to hour two of Live the Promise. Love to open the second hour that way, just as a reminder that God is great in you, and grace says that you aren't going to win every battle, and you don't have to because the cross has won the war, right? He's got you. Well, I'm excited. I just had a powerful conversation with Gerard Long of Alpha USA. And now we're switching gears, talking to my friend Crystal Evans Hurst. She's written a great book, Kingdom Woman. She wrote it with her dad, Tony Evans. And I don't want to waste another moment, so let me tell you about her and we'll get this conversation started. Crystal Evans Hurst is a gifted writer, speaker, and worship leader who loves to encourage women in fulfilling their potential in Christ Jesus. Most importantly, Crystal is a dedicated wife and homeschooling mother of five. She considers herself to be the COO, Chief Operating Officer of the Hurst household. She and her husband, Jesse, live in a small town just outside of Dallas, Texas. You can find her influencer page on our website, myfaithradio.com. Crystal, good to have you back on the program.
It's good to be back. Thank you for having me.
Indeed. Well, we love to start out our conversations talking scripture, and you, Crystal, chose Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Talk about that verse for us.
Well, you know, that is a verse that actually my mom kind of treated as my life verse before I think I did. And she would share that verse with me during times that weren't so bright and just say, keep moving forward because he knows what he's doing. And so when you're not sure what's happening exactly, keep your eyes on him because he knows where you're going. And that I've seen that truth occur over and over in my own life, so much so that I love to share that same hope with other people.
Boy, the blessing of a mama that has a heart of faith is priceless, isn't it?
It sure is.
We've had your mom on the show before, and boy, there's times where I'm on live radio and I almost forget because I'm so taken by what she says. I want to stop and take notes. And so she's a dear, dear woman. Well, even though we know that you grew up in the Evans household, I would love just your own personal backstory of faith, what it was like for you to grow up, how you came to Christ, where he became your one and only. Tell us a little bit about your own personal journey.
Well, being raised in a Christian home and being raised in church, there are still a lot of nuances of what Christian is, what it looks like. I'll never forget in the sixth grade when I came home and I told my dad, I'm not going to the movies anymore. And he said, why? I said, well, my sixth grade teacher doesn't think going to the movies is okay, so it must not be. And I was in the season where I wanted to be the good girl and do everything to the letter and to the T. And then, you know, I swung all the way to the other side of that in high school. So even within being in a Christian home and being raised in church, there was still this journey of trying to figure out what did my relationship with Christ look like for me. And I would say I probably latched on and stayed on early in my 20s, I think, just because when life gets serious, and I think for many of us, especially when we have children, you start to take seriously what it is that you really believe because now you're responsible for transferring it. And that puts a different sheds a different light on things. But I was saved as a little girl and just kind of wrestled through what my relationship with Jesus Christ meant. But I kind of latched on and stayed on early in my 20s.
I want you to repeat that, if you can, what you said. But there's a point when you start to take serious what you believe because you're responsible for transferring it. That's pretty riveting. Say a little bit more about that.
Well, you know, I think that we tend to take things with a grain of salt when we think that they just affect us, and then on the turn of a dime, we can shift gears if we want to. But I think when you have children, the weight of knowing that everything that you do and say is being transferred to another human being, and you're responsible to some degree for the outcome, that makes you want to slow down and pay attention to exactly what you're saying. And if I'm telling my child this, am I saying that because that's what I've heard or because what I've really believed and experienced? It just sheds a whole new light on the level of seriousness, the level of sacredness that you treat that area of your life with.
Wow. Well, I really appreciate that, Crystal. That's really wise and profound. Well, you open the book with this powerhouse statement. When a kingdom woman's alarm sounds each morning, the devil tries to hit her snooze button. Say more about that.
Well, the idea of a woman being a kingdom woman, and, you know, that's the name of this book, but the idea is the same. Proverbs 31 woman, a godly woman, a righteous woman. The idea is that she's serious about her faith. And so when she gets up in the morning, when she starts her day, her moves, her statements, her actions, her directions, where she lives, where she works, who she interacts with, it's all with purpose because she recognizes the gravity that her decisions can have, not only just on her life or on the life of her family, but on the life of the people she works with or the life of the stranger that she sits next to on the train. I mean, the idea is that my life matters. And so because my life matters, even if I'm doing dishes at the kitchen sink or if I'm sitting at the table in the boardroom. Either way, I am woman, hear me roar. Mm-hmm. Satan, get ready because here I come.
Amen. Well, if I remember this right, I thought you might have told me this about a year ago, that when the idea of this book, because your dad wrote Kingdom Man, the idea to co-write this with your dad, I mean, I know you're a kingdom woman. And even though you're a kingdom woman, you had some hesitancy about wanting to step up and do this project. Isn't that right?
Yeah, because, I mean, I just, you know, my biggest thought and fear is that one day I'm going to have my five-year-old at the park who is in every sense of the word a five-year-old, and he's going to be having a fit. And there's going to be some lady sitting on the bench with the book in her hand, and she's going to look at the front, and it's going to say Kingdom Woman, and she's going to look at the back, and it's going to have my picture, and she's going to be completely confused.
That is funny. Yeah, that's so good.
You know, the reality is that Kingdom Woman does not equal perfect woman. None of us are perfect. The issue is what are you consistently, intentionally doing? Not perfectly, but making the attempts to do. And even if you're not talking about yourself, the people around you, specifically if you have children, you know, they're growing and developing too. And we're all growing and developing. So there are going to be days where you're not necessarily going to look like that, or you're going to have to learn some lessons. There may be days when you're struggling to have faith or struggling to be purposeful or struggling to be intentional. But the issue is, are you kind of picking yourself up by your bootstraps, getting yourself in God's Word, getting infused with renewal in terms of His dreams, purposes, for your possibilities in Him, and getting busy doing what you need to be doing.
And this is why that example is so perfect to me, Crystal, because you are a kingdom woman, and yet this is what keeps so many women. You stepped up and said, okay, here am I, Lord, I will do this. Send me. I will write this book with my dad, because the enemy will come in with all kinds of lies and threats and really bring the accusation that we're not perfect, as if that is the qualifier. But I think a true kingdom woman did what you did, where you put your fears under your feet to say, this cannot be about perfection, it's about faith. And yet perfection, that thing, just steals the life from so many of us. So I want you to just even dismantle a little bit more, because if that thing is in front of us all the time, I think our own choices will sabotage our destiny in Christ, because we'll fail before we even start. So explain why God doesn't call us to perfection. He calls us to faith.
Yeah, and you know, as a part of that idea of faith, you know, I want to even take that a step further. He calls us to progress, which, of course, if you're operating in faith, that will happen. The idea that I can be perfect, the idea that I can get it all right, makes me my own God, and that's problematic. It removes the need for me as a woman, or for me as a person, to give my utter and total dependence to Jesus Christ, to realize that without Him, I have no righteousness, to realize it's only because of him that I have the opportunity to be clothed in righteousness, and to realize that it's only with him that I can achieve the level of righteousness, perfection, and holiness that he wants me to have. But I can't do it on my own. And that's where most of us get into trouble, is we try to do more, be more. I mean, this is a people statement, but in particular with women, because we, you know, many of us have grown up in the you can have it all kind of thing. Well, maybe you can, but you certainly can't do it all at the same time, because if you're trying to do it all and all at the same time, you're not going to do any of it well. And I think that's, in particular, our Western culture, the pressure that we feel. Again, I think all people, but specifically women, because there's a reality. There's a reality that if I go to work, for most of us, I'm going to come home if I have a family and work again. And there's just no way to achieve a level of perfection, both in my actions and in my persona, apart from what Jesus Christ is doing in my heart, mind, and soul.
And we just have to be, so to break that even idea of perfection, but progress, absolutely. And I think, as you say, as we walk in faith, we do experience traction and progress and even transformation, but it's not from the illusion of perfection. It's the internal transformative process of walking with God. But even that's just step one, I think, of daring to believe God, you know, use me in ways that are disproportionate to who I am. Well, here's another quote. You said, women have always held a place of influence in culture, even if it hasn't been publicly recognized or legally allowed. In fact, women have been equipped with such an innate capacity for influence that they can change the world for good or, unfortunately, for bad. So I want you to talk about how God wired women and wired us to be influential.
Well, I think I always think back to times of war when men were gone. And women had to take care of the children, and they still had to keep the farms going, and they still had to make sure that everybody was taken care of, and they did it. I don't know that all men could do the same thing in the reverse. I think that God really enabled us with the strong capabilities to do a variety of things well, and he did that so that we could indeed be helpers to our families, helpers to our husbands, helpers in society, to say, hey, I've created Adam and Eve, and I want you both to rule, and I've enabled Adam to do that in a certain way, and I've enabled Eve to do that in a certain way. So we are very capable human beings, and I think throughout history, sometimes it's been dumbed down. Women can't do that. Women can't do this. Women can't be here. Women can't go there. But the reality is we are very, very capable. But sometimes that capability gets us in trouble, because since I can, I try to do it all, and I try to do it all right now. And that's not healthy, and God is not asking us to necessarily do that either. I think one of the most beautiful things about being a woman who is dependent on God is to know that apart from understanding what it is that he wants you to do in your given season and in your given circumstances, you know, you're probably going to put too much pressure on yourself. We will overshoot or undershoot what he knows we are capable of.
Talking to Crystal Evans-Hurst today, and guess what? We've got 5 copies of this beautiful hardcover book, and this would make a phenomenal Christmas gift, I'm just saying. So I want to give Crystal as much time as possible, but I'm asking you now, what are some of the descriptors of a kingdom woman? How do you define a kingdom woman? Chime into the conversation right now, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. 2484. Maybe you know a kingdom woman. What is she like? I want to know. You can email me too, Susie@myfaithradio.com. When we come back, Crystal will unpack that, what a kingdom woman is and what she's not. All right, don't go away. We'll be right back.
Of a kingdom godly woman, the first thing I look for is kind of emulated in, I believe, in the book of Ruth. Someone who's respectful to her husband, yet demonstrating integrity and a willingness to work and a willingness to stand by people in her life.
Talking to Crystal Evans Hurst today. She's got a beautiful book out. She co-wrote with her dad, Dr. Tony Evans, Kingdom Woman, Embracing Your Purpose, Power, and Possibilities. And I have to say, friends, you're so quiet today. I want to hear from you. Tell me how you would define or describe a Kingdom Woman. I've got 5 copies of Crystal's book. And again, this would be an amazing gift for you or maybe for someone for Christmas. It's right around the bend, believe it or not. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, or email me, Susie at myfaithradio.com. So before the break, Crystal, you were talking about how we are wired for influence, and I would love for you just to unpack a bit, if you would, how we as women can misuse that power and that influence.
Well, you know, I think that I was reading in 1 Kings, and Jezebel, you have in one chapter, Jezebel, who was wicked, and she was able to maneuver the heart of her husband, the king, to do what she wanted to do in terms of changing the nation and establishing idol worship in the nation. And I think many women actually underestimate how powerful our influence, for good or for bad, meaning how you can encourage the people that are in your life, your family, your coworkers, your friends, even your boss, by the way we conduct ourselves. And the opposite is true, that our words can rip somebody apart, that our disapproval or disappointment can douse the flame of someone's dream. We were designed to give life. I mean, in a literal sense, I think, and also figuratively, we have the power for those who are in our circles of influence to give life. And I think many of us don't take that seriously, because if we did, we'd spend so much more energy and time encouraging those that are in our circles of influence to reach for their potential in Christ as well. I know that as a mom, it's so easy sometimes not to deliberately degrade my children, but just to say little flippant things because I'm irritated or they're taking too long. And so I may make a statement, you're always slower, you're always this. And, you know, I've really realized those little things can make a difference in how my children perceive themselves. Someone recently told me the story of a woman who married a man, and she was a little more spiritually mature than he was, but she just knew that the power of her words and the fact that he could sense and understand her belief in him mattered. And so every day when he left for work, I mean, it sounds a little hokey, but the outcome was not hokey at all. Every day when he left for work, she would walk him to the door and kiss him on the cheek and say, "You have a great day, you mighty man of valor." And over time, what she found that she had was a mighty man of valor. I've seen this happen in the workplace where working with folks and praising them for a job well done or for a job that I believe and knew that someone else could do, they rose to meet that expectation. And I think men and women can do that, but I do think there's an extra thing that God gave women where we can actually grant life by how we expect the best from the people that are around us and state the best by how we use our words for the better. So I think we really need to take that more seriously.
Indeed. In fact, there's so much more I want to ask you about that, because we need to know who we are at the deepest level so that we can give life to others, because our tendency is to be so common and stereotypical at times, and as far as insecure, petty. But what happens then is we take too many things seriously, where if we could look past maybe the offense, something somebody has said, and see what makes them thirsty, what's breaking their heart, that would make us Kingdom Women. We can talk more about that in a minute, but want to hear from you. 877-933-2484. Cindy is calling in from Taylor's Falls with her thoughts on a Kingdom Woman. Cindy, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you.
Yes. What's a Kingdom Woman to you?
Well, as a Kingdom Woman, and who learned that I had a strong mercy motive, I think it is a woman who chooses God's word and figures out how she can have joy when she's feeling emotion, hurt for people that are going through stuff. And just verses like Ephesians 2:8, 9, and 10, that I am his handiwork created in him unto good works that he's before ordained that I should walk in it, and just finding the strength and speaking his word to let his kingdom happen.
Cindy, thanks for that. Do you want to say anything,
You're
Crystal?
Welcome.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. There's no way to do what God wants us to do if we're not women of the Word. If we're not spending time in the Word and hiding His words in our hearts, we won't have a clue what it is that He wants us to do, where He wants us to go, and who He wants us to influence. I think you're right on that.
Mm-hmm. Cindy, you'll get a copy of Kingdom Woman. Margaret is also calling in from Carrington, 877-933-2484. Margaret, welcome. You're on the show.
Yes, I think that... we have to accept the fact that each and every one is created as a masterpiece, and we can't try to paint our husbands into somebody that they're not. Mm. We have to accept them just exactly as they were created to be.
Wow, wise words of wisdom. Crystal, do you want to say anything to Margaret?
I think one of the greatest gifts that we can give our husbands is to accept who they are and like who they are.
Yeah, indeed.
I think many times we're great at accepting it, but we kind of unintentionally show a bit of disdain for what we wish they could do more of. And I think just letting them know we like them goes a long way. I mean, we love them, and we're going to be good wives and all that, but we like you. Like, I'm going to share in the things that are important to you. That goes a long way.
Oh, that's such a good word. Thank you so much, Margaret. 877-933-2484. Jill just emailed in. Thank you for this broadcast. It's perfect timing as I struggle to know how to support my husband and what advice to give as things have come up with his ex-wife and his daughter. Maybe you can give Jill a word of encouragement, Crystal, because, again, it kind of goes back to what I'd said as we were coming out of the break. I think really to walk this thing out, we have to have regular encounters with God and just reminders of who we are so we can start in that place. So what do you say to Jill?
You know, I think that a lot of times our self-esteem gets wrapped up in what we can or cannot control, and we cannot control other people. The esteem that I know personally that I've had to find and had to hold on to is who God says that I am, and hold on to that even if the people around me that I have to interact with don't necessarily agree with that by their words or their actions. And that has meant staying in the Word and looking at those verses that I've highlighted to remind myself of that when I'm on the verge of tears, when I feel that those who are close to me are not necessarily building me up or might actually be tearing me down. There has to be a way that you know who you are apart from the approval of other people. And, of course, the closer those people are, the more difficult it is. But the truth is still the same. Who does God say that I am? Does he love me? Does he love me unconditionally? How has he created me? What is good in me and unique in me that God has given? And to champion those things and encourage yourself, I would really encourage you to continue to do that and to search out those scriptures if you don't already know where they are. I actually have something that I give away free on my blog, and it's called Reminders of God's Love, because when I was in my early 20s and had a circumstance where the guy I was really in love with was not championing me at all. In fact, I just felt like dirt. That's what I did. I looked in the scriptures and said, God, why do you love me when there are people in my life who are making me feel like there's nothing beautiful about me at all? And I walked around with those scriptures on a piece of paper, lined piece of paper. They became yellow. I still have them because I needed constant reminders of the fact that God loved me just the way that I was, and his love was enough.
And that's exactly what I'm talking about. To see Crystal's intentionality about feeding her soul with the truth of God. Do you know who you are? Do you know whose you are? To me, that is step one of being a kingdom woman. I think we've got a couple copies left. Give us a call, 877-933-2484. More with Crystal Evans-Hurst on being a kingdom woman in just a moment.
Yeah. And I think she should, like, reflect the bride of Christ, so, like, following Jesus.
Talking to Crystal Evans-Hurst today about her book, Kingdom Woman. She wrote with her dad, Dr. Tony Evans. And this was my question to you, because we had 5 copies to give away. I think after Nancy and Jennifer, we take these 2 calls, the books will be gone. But if you want to chime in, here's the number, 877-933-2484. We've got Nancy on hold, calling in from Forest Lake. Nancy, thanks for waiting. Welcome. You're on the show.
Hi, Susie. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I am just so blessed by your program every day, and first want to thank you for that. But and you, in my view, are one of those kingdom women that I really look up to and admire.
Wow. Thank
but you. Thank you. I was thinking about this, and this has probably already been mentioned already, but I was just thinking about how a truly kingdom woman is selfless. She doesn't think about herself. She thinks about others and the world around her and her whole life with this persevering, committed attitude of seeing all of it through God's eyes. And not perfectly, of course, because we are in progress, but where she holds fast to that commitment to love the Lord her God with all her mind, with all her soul, with all her body, and all of her strength, and to love others as herself.
Mm. That so just that consuming passion just marks her life. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah. Nancy, first of all, thank you for your wonderful words of encouragement. But Crystal, do you want to say anything to Nancy?
Yeah, I think about Jesus' life and how he was here for 33 years. He had a lot of stuff to do, basically to save the world before he, you know, before he had even hit his mid-30s. And he got a lot done, and he did that living, of course, a very selfless life. But just to add a thought onto that, I think what I think is important to stress is that the opposite is also true sometimes, is that sometimes being selfless and being able to fully participate in what God has asked you to do means that sometimes you set up some boundaries. And I think some women take the selfless thing so far that they don't necessarily take good care of themselves, and then they're not any good to themselves or to the purposes and plans that God has for them. And so it's that illustration when you get on the plane, when you have the mask that are going to drop down, and they tell you if you're traveling with a small child to put your mask on first. And so, you know, before you put the mask on the face of the child that you're traveling with. And I completely agree that we should be selfless, because Jesus Christ, of course, lived a selfless life. But the other side of that is he also went away and made time to pray. He made time to rest. He made time to get quiet and spend time with the Father. And I think if we as women are keeping our eyes on God and asking him before we ever step foot out of the bed, what are your purposes and plans for me, then he'll cover all of that.
Mm-hmm.
He'll make sure that we are prompted by the Holy Spirit when we're supposed to go past the point where we intended to go, because that's the selfless way he wants us to live today with that person or in that situation. And he will also say, no, that's not your responsibility, or this is not for you to cross this boundary line today. Today, rest. Today, spend time with me. Today, get quiet. And that's okay, too. And I think as women, we have to give ourselves permission, just like Jesus gave himself permission, to do both as we're led by the Father.
Yeah, I think that's such a good word, Crystal. And, you know, Jesus talks about things are proven right by their fruit. And there's just times when our selfless living starts to be unsustainable because it's draining the life out of us. And I love what Nancy's saying, and I know that what she means, and she's meaning exactly laying our lives down, that we decrease. And but part of that is responding to the invitation to be much with God. So I think that's such a good word. Jennifer's calling in from Madison, Wisconsin, with a thank you to you, Crystal. Jennifer, welcome. You're on the show.
Hi, guys. Hi, Susie. I love your program. As you know, I probably call in a lot. And Crystal, I just want to say I love you. My sister gave me the book. Wonderful, wonderful book. Read it cover to cover, front to back, read it again, gave it to my little sister. It empowered me. The words spoke to me. It anointed me in such a way. And in my life, it opened up an avenue in my life that I saw it in a different perspective. I love your father.
Awesome.
He's on my podcast.
I love
to him
too.
Every day. His new series, Generational Curses. Oh, that was such an anointing series. Do you understand? Oh, I love his Kingdom Men. I can't wait to read Kingdom Kids. Awesome, awesome, awesome.
I like you, Jennifer.
So anointed. Just when I listen to you guys, I feel the Spirit moving. Mm. It's just my sister empowered me. Like, have you heard Dr. Evans? I said, have I heard Dr. Evans? She was like, yeah, he's on Moody Radio. She's out of Chicago. I'm like, no, I haven't. So she's like, yeah, you have to hear him. So after I read your book, then I heard your father, then I podcasted him. So I listened to him every day. Do you understand me?
I do.
Yes.
Well, Jennifer, you call anytime. You are just a shot in the arm. That is so precious. Thank you so much. And for even passing on the book and empowering others, I think that's amazing. I love this statement, Crystal, from your book. You said, when Kingdom women become passionate about what God is passionate about, positive change can occur in lives, families, communities, and even our nation. And I think that's part of the vision that you had when you wrote this book, because the ripple effect of even one life, not to mention many lives. I mean, like taking Jenna, for example, being impacted, introduced to your book, and then she learns about your dad's podcast. She empowers her sister and she tells everybody she knows. And inner transformation happens and it becomes an external improvement in communities. Explain that dynamic.
Well, you know, there's this idea of the pebble in the pond. And I think we as women have wanted to define for each other what the pebble needs to look like and where it needs to land in order to have an effect. And the reality is the tiniest pebble thrown in a corner of a pond is going to have an effect, and a large rock thrown in the middle of the pond is going to have an effect. We can't look down on one another or judge each other for where God is asking us to cast our pebble. My grandmother, my mom's mother, 8 children, and she always personally wanted to be in ministry. She wanted to be a missionary, and she had 8 children. And her life's desire is actually being lived out through her children. 6 of her children are in ministry, and they're all over the world. And even though she firsthand was that was not what God had for her to do, her pebble was cast, and it has had ripples many times over what she could have ever done for herself. But that's not to say that the only way that a woman can have an impact is through her children, because one, many women have an impact in addition to their children, and some women don't have children and they still have an impact. You know, I think about Sojourner Truth, and I think about Harriet Tubman, and I think about Susan B. Anthony, and a lot of women who in their season, in their time, they worked with what they had available to them in terms of what they could actually legally do, and they still made a huge impact. And so I think that what we have to do is stop looking at each other and judging each other for what kind of impact that is and what it looks like. We have to look to the Lord and know that for our season, our family, our situation, you know, our circumstances, our education, our opportunities in the workplace, our opportunities in our neighborhood, what does he want us to do? What is the pebble he wants us to cast and where he wants us to cast it?
Boy, that's a great word picture, because so often we look at big influences, even people who may be having a big influence, but those who do that, who have a current big influence, it's always one little pebble at a time, one little faith step at a time, right? I mean, those faithful actions turn often into these big harvests and big offerings, but we complicate it by making it bigger than it is. And there's such power in just simple obedience in the moment with what's in your hand. And Crystal, if you wouldn't mind talking to that woman listening, and even the man listening, who's just beat down, tired from working too hard in a job that doesn't suit their gifts and feeling unfulfilled, you know, underjoyed, and they don't know their purpose. They haven't experienced God's power. They love Jesus, but they're just plain worn out. What are just some first steps that they can take to start to engage in a way where they feel like they're living a kingdom life that God intended for them?
Well, I mean, I've had my share of, oh my gosh, Lord, please don't let me have to be on this job forever kind of jobs. definitely been in that place where the everyday was monotonous. It was draining. It was driving me crazy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And I don't say that to use a saying and to sound over spiritual, but it's true. I would find little spaces, little places where the Lord and I could commune, things that fed my soul, scriptures that fed my mind and heart, radio to and from work, taking a break. And I used to go sit in my car. I'll never forget, I would go sit in the garage because I just didn't even want to stay in the building. I was going to sit in the garage and read books that were spiritually encouraging, making sure that outside of a job or the circumstances that were a little bit draining, that I had, I used to get up, I still do, at 5 o'clock in the morning and meet a friend at Waffle House, because there was no other time between my husband working and traveling and having small children that I could have an injection of friendship and just encouragement and accountability. And in small things, you know, that little 5 o'clock a.m. thing with a friend, that may happen once every 3 months, or my lunch break, a 30-minute lunch break. By the time I get to my car and pull out that book, I've really only been in the car for 15 minutes eating my, you know, bologna and cheese sandwich. The ride to and from work, I may listen to the same songs over and over again, but it has to do with a mind that stayed on Christ, a mind that stayed on the fact that apart from the things that are draining you, there are a million other wonderful things to be grateful for. And if we shift our focus, it can completely change the way we see our whole day. It may not take away the drab. It may not take away the monotonous. It may not take away the things that we want to change, but it can certainly allow us to sing a different song during that season. Mm. And so I just want to encourage everyone who's struggling to know that everyone, and I believe this with all of my heart, everyone can figure out and find little ways to latch on to the joy of the Lord. And he, in doing so, he will provide the strength that you need to make it through the circumstances that you really wish you could just wipe away. Yes. He can provide you with the strength to make it through until your circumstances change.
My pastor always used to say, you're not free to go till you're free to stay. And sometimes this is just a wrestling of our will, where we do look for those little oases, those little places where we can feed our souls to say, Lord, I want out of here. I dream of something different, but in the meantime, help me be faithful, you know, change my attitude. And it's something that happens. It's amazing when you feel like, okay, I'm finding your grace here. And just when you settle in, the door opens. That's so often
That's right.
is the case.
That's how it works every time. Yeah. Right when you're ready to stay, he's saying, okay, it's time for you to go.
Yeah. Don't you love that? Well, here's another really important insight that you offer. And you said, when God is silent, he is not still. God does some of his best work in the dark. And it seems, Crystal, we tend to learn that lesson in hindsight. And yet I would love for you to just sort of unpack this truth for that person who's right now in the dark season where it does seem like he's silent, that they need to know he's not still.
You know, I'm not a sewer. I'm not a seamstress. My daughter is very creative, my oldest daughter. And because I wanted to participate with her once in a class she was taking at her homeschool co-op, I joined in a quilting class with her. I was so frustrated because it took forever to put that thing together. And the worst part was you didn't go in and start sewing. You had to measure, and you had to use the ruler, and you had to cut. And Lord have mercy, if you didn't cut it straight or if you didn't have a straight corner. And then you had to sew these pieces together one by one. And I'll tell you, when I finished that top layer of the quilt and turned it over, it was a mess underneath. But by the time I put the backing on and sewed on the edges, it was beautiful. And no one was the wiser for how long it took me to get those edges exact or to get those edges straight. And no one was the wiser for what the thread looked like mattled up underneath that top surface. All they saw was the finished product. And God, when he's working in our lives, he's doing the same thing. He's at work in places that seem to not matter, corners that we want to know, why does this have to be just so, edges that we really could care less if they were straightened or not. But he's taking his time because he knows that when he produces a final product, he wants it to be right. Mm-hmm. And our job is just to be patient while he's doing the job of putting together all those other pieces that make that possible. God is always at work doing things that we may not quite understand, but our job is to hold on until we see the finished product, because in hindsight, 2020, we can always see that what he was up to was something good.
That was amazing. Thank you, Crystal. We're taking a short break. When we come back, I'm going to ask Crystal about these things, about people-pleasing and how we can fall into that trap of people-pleasing and lose sight of what our kingdom call is, and really the impact and the role of prayer in a kingdom person's life. Last segment to call in with your questions or comments. Here it is, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look.
A woman that is truly after the heart of God, just how we all should be, because we're all people, want to see Jesus in her too.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Crystal Evans Hurst today about the book she co-authored with her dad, Dr. Tony Evans, Kingdom Woman, Embracing Your Purpose, Power, and Possibilities. And I'm not sure, but at first glance, I would think the trap that a lot of men maybe fall into is the need to constantly produce and validate themselves by what they produce, where it seems that we as women, Crystal, fall into the tendency to people-please, where since we're wired to nurture and multitask and connect relationally, it seems it's easy to fall into that trap of striving to please others, and we get tied up into knots when others are not happy with us. So would you, first of all, see that as one of the significant obstacles to kingdom living, is the need to people-please? And then how does a person find their footing when they just feel so tied up in that trap?
Well, yes. I mean, you know, I am more and more realizing that it's a woman thing, because I thought it was just a me thing. And I know that all women don't need to people please, but a lot of them sure do. Mm-hmm. And so, and I think it's a learned behavior that you can unlearn. You know, not to ring the same bell, but I just think when you make Jesus, when you make God the Father, when you make the Holy Spirit's action in your life, and the words that are written in the Bible your focus, and you are clearly getting your direction from Him, that's your first step to putting that whole thing to bed. And it's a habit that you have to work to break, because I can physically sometimes feel my heart beating faster when I'm thinking I may need to tell somebody no, mm-hmm. or, you know, goodness, I'm just aware that what someone wants me to do is not what I need to be doing. It's difficult to follow suit, but I think the first step always is, you won't get rid of one thing until you replace it with another. And if you people please, and that's a habit, it's not going to be easy to get rid of that if you're not replacing it with the idea that God has something better. I'm not turning them down and saying no, and or not allowing myself to serve others in a good way. It's that God has this other thing that He wants me to do. And since my life and every breath that I breathe is kind of on loan to me, I'm a steward of every minute of every day that I have, it's my responsibility to please God first. You know, I'm people pleasing for Him.
Amen.
And then that puts everything else into light. It doesn't take it away, but it certainly gives you a starting point for feeling at least a little bit okay about saying, I would love to, but really I have to do X, knowing that X or Y or Z, you're on errand from God to do those things or to get those things done.
And isn't it good news that God never contradicts Himself? So if someone asks you to do something and you're not sensing the nudge of the Holy Spirit, it also means that He has someone else to do the very thing they're asking you of. And so
that's right.
That really does help me to go, I'm not your girl. I know that, because I don't, you know, God, I can tell He doesn't want me to do this. I'm supposed to do something else. And you know, I noticed this, that Jesus seemed content to be misunderstood. Even as He would do these miracles and people would put their trust in Him because of the miracles, He didn't put His trust in them, because He knew it was in the heart of man. He just continually took His cues from God. And boy,
yeah,
that's a great lesson.
He kept saying, I'm here on my Father's business. Mm-hmm. I'm here to do my Father's business. And I think if we could adapt that same idea, I'm here to do my Father's business, and then get busy seeking Him for what that is, it would make being misunderstood a lot easier, because we know we are completely understood by the One who matters.
Yeah, completely understood by the One who matters. Well, with the time we have left, I want to ask you about two things, personal care and prayer. And if we have time, we'll delve into some other things as well. But I know that this factors into being a kingdom woman, is personal care, because as you were saying, sometimes we can misread the idea of being selfless, to letting things go, as if there's virtue in neglecting our personal health and our personal care. But again, it's not sustainable to neglect that. And so talk about how that factors into being a kingdom woman.
Well, you know, I have my own little personal journey with the whole body thing right now. I just think that I personally can recall, I don't think I was doing this intentionally, but I was doing it, where I was looking at women who looked good, who were taking the time to present themselves well, to be healthy, to look decent when they went out the door and think there was something less about them. Because surely if I am taking care of my family and I'm baking bread from scratch and I'm homeschooling my kids and we're living off of one income and I'm making all these sacrifices, surely there's got to be something more godly about my decision that validates what I'm not doing to look like her. And, you know, I think we do these little mind games with ourselves to justify the choices that we make. And what I had to realize is that it kind of goes back to what I was saying before. I am no good to anyone if I am not taking care of the house that God gave me to walk around in. If I want to be here to have an impact as far as I can control, to have an impact on my children and my grandchildren and maybe even my great-grandchildren, well, I've got to do my part to take care of the body that I'm walking around in. And I think that we work with what we have. We work within the financial constraints that we have. But there is something to be said for taking pride in our appearance, not the evil, bad kind of pride, but the healthy kind of pride, to just say, you know what, I'm a daughter of the King, and I don't want to let how I look, as far as I can control, be a distractor or a barrier from someone who needs to hear the message of Jesus from me, or to someone who needs to receive encouragement, and they may not be able to receive it if it's not coming from someone that they can receive it from, in terms of just me being a little lazy, honestly, with how I take care of myself. And so I think for every woman, she has to figure out what that means. We're not all going to be the same size. We're not all going to wear the same kinds of clothes or shop in the same places. But I think we have to figure out, are we doing the best we can with what we have? And are we taking care of ourselves so that we can actually do an effective job of taking care of our Father's business and those that we are currently in charge of taking care of, you know, our children, our husbands, or even doing a good job at work.
And just a word from the fitness perspective, that if you're low on energy, it takes energy to make energy. So if you feel just constantly under energy and you were to add a little bit of cardio into your day in a way that works for you and fits with your story, you actually will feel better. So there's health benefits to just some physical care.
My 5 a.m. run, my husband wants me to have my 5 a.m. run.
Way to go.
He's like, you're a completely different person. I'm like, I know.
So let's do this. Okay, we've just got about a minute and a half left, but say a word about the prayer life of a kingdom woman.
There is no way to go high if you're not going deep. There's no way to accomplish great things for God if you are not spending deep time talking to Him. Not just talking to Him, but having time in your prayer life to hear from Him. A lot of us like to do the talking, but we don't stay in His presence long enough to actually hear what He has to say. And then we want to say, well, God, I don't know what you want me to do. Well, we're rushing. We're driving through our prayer life. Now, the way that looks for each one of us can be different. You know, we don't all have to get on our knees. I would pray in my car on the way to work a lot of the time, or get up early in the morning and talk to Him while I'm doing dishes. But talking to Him is imperative. Giving Him space to talk back is just as imperative. And I think if you're looking for fruit on the surface, the question is, are you putting in the time underneath the surface as well?
Wow, Crystal, I just so appreciate talking with you. You're just a wonderful, feisty woman of faith. Takes one to know one, I'm just saying.
I love it.
So would you pray for us, all the women listening, and even the men listening, for the women in their lives, that we would rise up and be the women God intends us to be?
Lord Jesus, for every person who's listening, for every woman who is taking the time to listen to this radio program today, Lord, I just pray more than anything that after listening, she feels encouraged. I pray that something was said in this program to touch her in a place that you know best, and that because of what she's heard, because of an encouraging word, that she will have one thing that she can do to continue to walk with you and to do things that you want her to do so she can be the woman that you want her to be. Lord, I just pray that we would all do a better job of spending time with you so that we can hear you clearly and that we don't waste one breath that you've given us as we walk this earth to do the best that we can for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Crystal, thank you for joining us today. Just an honor to have you with us again.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here. Thanks so much, Susie.
Yeah. God bless you, dear sis. Are an overcomer. overcomer. Do you believe it? Well, thanks so much for tuning in today. This is Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. You can find a podcast of today's show on our website at myfaithradio.com. Guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He is the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day. You are the object of God's affection. We'll meet you back here next time.